the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Friday, January the 19th, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. It will be up to the U.S. Senate today to take the next step if a government shutdown is to be averted. Also in focus on our Friday rundown, President Trump extends religious refusal protections to health providers, and we'll tell you about a 15-year-old in North Carolina who just formed a political action committee. Now, our top story, the U.S. House Thursday night approved a stopgap measure to keep the government open less than 36 hours before a possible shutdown. The Hill reports the final vote was 230 to 197, with 6 Democrats voting for the measure and 11 Republicans voting against it. The Senate began debate on the House bill Thursday night and will reconvene today at 11 this morning. The Hill says the key vote today will be a procedural motion to move the bill to a final up or down vote in the Senate, which they report is expected to fail. That would require Senate negotiators to come up with a deal before 11:59 tonight to avoid a government shutdown. A Trump administration plan to protect health care workers who refuse to provide services on religious grounds is raising the concerns of civil rights advocates. From the Lone Star State, here's Mark Richardson.
A presidential order has authorized the creation of a Conscience and Religious Freedom Division of the Department of Health and Human Services. Its goal is to defend providers who refuse to perform abortions, fill prescriptions, or perform other medical services based on religious or moral beliefs. Dan Quinn with the watchdog group Texas Freedom Network says the move opens the door to legalized discrimination in Texas and elsewhere.
In effect, what this does is open the door to any provider saying that because of religious objections, I'm not going to provide the care you need, and you're going to have to go somewhere else, if there is anywhere else. That opens up the door to a lot of frightening possibilities.
HHS says its new division will help guarantee that victims of unlawful discrimination find justice. A Texas law passed last year allows faith-based adoption and foster care agencies to refuse services based on religious beliefs. And a Texas Senate committee has an interim hearing in February to consider other so-called religious freedom bills.
33 rural counties across Missouri are seeing their white residents die at higher rates than 2 decades ago. Tramell Gomes tells us the increase in white mortality is causing concern among researchers who say it signals a reversal of long-term life expectancy trends also occurring for people of other races.
A report from the Missouri Foundation for Health says rural areas like Boot Hill and Ozark have seen the largest increase in death rates. Robert Hughes, who heads the foundation, says those areas suffer from long-term poverty, unemployment, and a lack of health care access.
Primarily, in terms of just causes of death, were really substance abuse and suicide were kind of the leading reasons for death. So those stood out as things that really deserve a great deal of attention from leaders in our state.
Hughes found a near 600% increase in drug overdoses. The report is careful to note that overall mortality rates are still disproportionately higher for certain ethnic groups. However, Hughes says the unprecedented loss of life expectancy for whites is a significant cause for concern, and the report offers some strategies to improve those numbers, from job retaining and paid family leave to universal health care.
Millions are expected to take part in the 2018 women's marches across the country this weekend, including one on Saturday in Reno and another Sunday in Las Vegas.
They come on the first anniversary of the largest single-day march in U.S. history, which took place the day after President Donald Trump's inauguration. Dozens of groups have banded together for the Nevada marches with concerns about a wide range of issues. Pat Lynch, an organizer of the Reno Women's March, says the administration's attacks on the Affordable Care Act are top of mind for many.
Now, literally hundreds of thousands of people are not going to be given health care that did have it, and many, many, many people are going to die. That should get everybody out of their seats. It could happen to any one of us.
President Trump has defended many of his policies as efforts to create jobs and improve security. The Reno event starts tomorrow at 11:30 a.m. at the Federal Building. The Las Vegas event starts at 10 a.m. on Sunday, and it's a large production at Sam Boyd Stadium with many nationally known speakers and celebrities put on by the same people who ran the first march in Washington, D.C. last year. I'm Suzanne Potter.
Organizers note Nevada will be very influential in the 2018 midterm elections as a swing state where the governorship, Dean Heller's Senate seat, and all 4 congressional seats are on the ballot.
And finally, Stephanie Carson reports at a time when civic engagement is heightened across the country, a North Carolina teen has taken a big step to participate in the political process.
15-year-old Ryan Hubbard of Charlotte founded the Youth Global Advocacy Political Action Committee last year. The group now has 15 members and has endorsed 4 candidates so far. Hubbard says his PAC was born out of a desire to be respected in the political process.
I've had experience with this, working on campaigns. I wouldn't say discrimination, but definitely because of my age, people tend to not take me seriously. So definitely this PAC is an outlet for youth to feel comfortable.
Hubbard says the goal of YGA is to give young people the opportunity to gain exposure to advocacy and campaigns, and he'd like to increase youth civic engagement across the country.
Hubbard says he is seeking donations for his PAC and also volunteer members and leaders to support the effort as his group prepares for the 2018 midterm elections. Have a great weekend. This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported, and online at publicnewsservice.org.